Blog Talk Radio.
And seekers of the truth, this is the 442nd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and it's part one of a message titled The Bible and Bodily Healing. We're going to look at that also important verse in James chapter 5, verse 10, and then on all the other supported scriptures around the Bible, as we always do, because it's a matter of context, folks. Now, you all ought to know by now that our dear friend Becky Snyder, who is the founder of our Sozo's ministry, she suddenly became ill with this extremely rare form of cancer, and then to everyone's shock, she went home to be with the Lord last month. This whole thing happened over about a month and a week or so, maybe a month and 2 weeks. One minute she's fine, next minute we're burying her. And I'm telling you, folks, if you ever lost somebody in the body like that, it's like taking a piece of fabric, a beautiful piece of fabric, that you cover your dining table with and cutting a big hole right in the middle of it. That's what it feels like. It just isn't complete. There's something wrong. So, of course, everybody's asking why. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happily which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And then in James chapter 13 through 15, it reads, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up if he have committed sins, and they shall be forgiven him. So like I said, we're all in shock and asking why. Why did the Lord allow this extremely rare form of cancer to take this perfectly healthy and devoted 61-year young servant of his, Becky Snyder? Why? After the elders of the church, that included me, anointed her with oil and prayed. Why? You know, all of us at Sozo's believe that the Lord still moves as he did in the book of Acts. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And there was no cessation of these mighty works of God. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And I've seen it over and over and over. And he does heal divinely. So why? Why did Becky go home to be with Jesus so soon? Why? Why did she suddenly get ill with this extremely rare form of cancer? Folks, I read some about it after Bill gave me the diagnosis, which took them most of her illness to figure out. That's how rare it was. At UPMC Pittsburgh, their top hospital in the UPMC network around the whole country, the top hospital in Pittsburgh, UPMC Presbyterian, the best doctors. You know, there's only 30 documented cases of this rare form of cancer in the whole world. So why Becky? Why did she have to die? Why so soon? Well, everybody knows that Christians get sick, but praise God, they're supposed to be hoping the Lord, because the Bible says he's the answer to every need we have. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need, not some of it, all your need, according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 4:19, folks. And that Greek word, Strong's 3956, for all is P-A-S, paz. And it literally in Greek means all. So all of our needs, body, soul, and spirit, are to be met by the Lord. Now, if that's true, which it is, then what happened to our dear sister Becky? Why? Well, this topic of bodily healing is very complicated, as you'll see. It's a very complicated subject. So it's going to take 2 weeks to get through all of this. But regardless, complicated it is, okay, I want to tell you with great joy and certainty, folks, in the midst of all of this grieving we're going through right now, that in Jesus, we do have sin and victory defeated. We have victory over sin and death, praise the Lord. So regardless of what the circumstances may look like, regardless of the fact that we lost Becky, okay, here on earth, regardless of these outcomes, which may seem dire and sober and tragic from our perspective, there is victory in Jesus Christ. He conquered sin and death. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know where Becky is. She's in his glory. Praise the Lord. So there's no need as Christians, okay, for us who are all born crying as babies to continue living, complaining, and then die disappointed. So we should have no disappointment in Becky's homecoming. In fact, as Christians, as believers, as those who cling to the vine, branches clinging to that vine, we should be a victorious people, praise the Lord, in spite of this truth, okay, that Becky went home to be with the Lord very early. Folks, Christians still do suffer affliction, just like we tragically experienced with Becky, okay, and we do die, but our death isn't the end, it's just the beginning. It's just a transition, like a grain of seed that falls to the ground must first die before it bears all that fruit. Well, praise the Lord. That's the hope we have. That's the blessed hope. Now, I want you to make note that this is a form of dying, but it's not the death that all natural men have. No, no, no. It's like that grain falling to the ground that first must die before it can spring forth and bear so much fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 90-fold, whatever it may be. So again, listen to verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Now, remember those prophets of old, okay? There was nothing wrong with them. They were God's servants, yet they suffered affliction. The Bible says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job? That's James 5:11. Now, we all ought to remember these afflictions of Job. I mean, it's an incredible story in the book of Job's. They were not only spiritual or emotional, okay? They were material, physical. In fact, his own body was afflicted with boils. So the bottom line is that this is a very complicated topic. And I'd like to begin this week by looking at some of the causes of sickness. Why do people get sick? Well, there's a lot of varied causes for sickness. It's a lost and fallen world, folks. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, death entered this realm. Okay, and we have to deal with it. So people get sick, and at times they get sick because of their sin. As a matter of fact, I believe we'd be surprised if we actually knew how much physical sickness, even amongst the body of Christ, is a result of our sins. And you might be saying, well, what are you talking about? Well, there's this verse in the first letter John wrote, chapter 5, verse 16. It's a remarkable verse, and everybody should take note of this verse. It says, if any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So what John's saying here, kind of in a reverse way, is that there are some sins that lead to physical death. But folks, there's no way, I believe that was the cause of Becky's demise. No way, but we still want to cover this because we're looking at all these different things in the Bible. Now, without getting into theological issues concerning this verse, I just want to leave it that some people do physically die because of their sins. And here's another example over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, here Paul's talking about some people that mistreated the Lord's Supper. They were irreverent. They came there unprepared. They were full of unrepented sin. And this was during the Lord's Supper. And he says this cause, okay? And in this context, the cause is sin. And that term he uses there, sleep, it literally means to be stone cold dead. That's how they used to talk about their members of the body who died. So Paul's saying that because of their sin, they were sick, and some even died. So at times, sickness and even death can be a direct result of our sins. But that doesn't mean God's judging us. It doesn't. At times, he just leaves us alone to our own devices, and he allows sin to take over. Remember, he said, Peter, I'm going to allow Satan to sift you like wheat for a season. You know, for example, you may be saying, well, what kind of sin would do that? Well, getting drunk, drinking excessive amounts of alcohol, leading to intoxication, which literally means alcohol poisoning. Folks, a toxin's a poison. So if someone is quote-unquote intoxicated, it means that they have literally poisoned themselves with alcohol. So that's why some people vomit when they get sick. Their stomachs have more sense than their brains. Their stomachs are saying, get this poison out of me. It's killing me. Get it out of there. So drunks poison themselves, they literally do, with alcohol, yet it affects their whole bodies, not just their stomachs. That's why you see a drunk with red eyes and bad breath. Plus booze, it gives you a yellow streak, you know, it'll kill your liver. You'll literally see cirrhosis of the liver and people start to get that color to them, that jaundice color. Plus you get a blue mood or outlook on life, plus black circles under your eyes. My point is it just affects your whole body, not just your stomach. So we can get sick and even die as a direct result of our sin. In this case, getting intoxicated or getting drunk. Yet, did you ever notice how all the experts out there, the brainiacs, they call alcoholism a disease? Strange, it's the only disease that they don't try to eradicate the cause. In fact, it's just the opposite. They advertise the cause and market it as enjoyment. Isn't that weird? Isn't that odd? Plus, how about all the people get sick from smoking? Everybody knows that smoking cigarettes causes lung cancer, yet people still do it. They simply become slaves to these little white coffin nails, also known as the cig. I got to go have a cig. I always hear Terry's nephew, Eric, saying, I got to go have a cig. And I'm like, Eric, you're going to nail another nail in your coffin, eh? So people get sick because of drinking, smoking. Plus, how about all the poor diets we see? Anything and everything in sight. In fact, we had a woman like that at Sozo's. She was at the ER all the time. In fact, the ERs around the area all knew her, and they referred to her as a frequent flyer. In fact, did you know, I never said, maybe I did in one of the messages, but twice, not once, but twice at Sozo's after our fellowship meal, we had to call 911 for her because she literally gorged herself so bad she had all sorts of insulin reactions, and I guess she was allergic to shellfish, and once we had shrimp, and she just gorged herself on that. Twice. Not once, twice we had to call 911 to Sozo's. You know, most people, including her, they can live off a half of what they ate. And the doctors, they live off the other half. You know, so many people just don't eat healthy food. They load up on Twinkies and Fritos. And let's not forget about McDonald's and Taco Bell. You know, this nation, in a big part, has morphed into a nation of fast food junkies. Dwight L. Moody, and you probably have heard of the Moody Institute. Well, he was a faith-filled man who was once asked to pray for a preacher who was very sick. And Moody said, I won't do it. He does the work of two men and eats everything in sight. Why should I pray for him to be healed until he repents and gets right with God? And there's another bad habit, also known as a sin, and that's chewing. So many people chew. I like that old saying. Did you ever hear it before? It goes, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls who do. So you may be sitting there thinking, well, Bro Ken, I don't do any of that. Well, neither did our dear beloved sister Becky. But how about worry? Do you know what the Bible says in the book of Psalms concerning worry? Fret not thyself, in any wise do evil. And did you know it can do the same thing to us in a physical sense that sand can do to fine machinery? Dump some sand in your engine. And drive down the road and see what happens. Well, that's what worry does. It's a form of dissipation. No different than drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes or chewing snuff. It does bodily harm. Worry, folks. Bottom line, so many times our sickness is a direct result of sin. Okay? And I don't really care what it is, but once again, I'm telling you, Becky wasn't a worrier. So why? Why did she get sick and go home to be with the Lord? Well, not only can sickness be caused by sin, but the Bible also shows us that sickness can be caused by Satan. Did you know that? The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 2, verse 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So Satan was able to smote Job, a servant of the Lord, make him sick. Then how about this from the New Testament where Jesus said to the rulers of the synagogue in Luke chapter 13, verse 16, and ought not this woman being a daughter of Abram whom Satan hath bound to abound? Lo, though these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And then in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, while Peter was preaching on Jesus, he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, let's just recap here. We had Job smote with boils by Satan, plus that woman bent over with an affliction, bound by Satan. Okay, remember, Jesus said Satan hath bound her. And then there's Dr. Luke over there in the book of Acts, who wrote about Jesus, who went about healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. So there's this satanic oppression, and it makes some people sick. Okay? Now, while some can get sick and even die of their sin, I don't see evidence in the Bible that Satan can literally kill them. And I don't believe this is the case with Becky either. I just don't believe that was the case with Becky. So why? Why? I mean, the Bible says in Job chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 that in this discourse between Satan and God, God established that there was, I'm not going to read all this, I'm just going to tell you that Job was a servant of the Lord, and Satan said, that's because you put a hedge around him, you protect him. And Satan said, and God said to Satan, you can have a season with him, okay, but spare his life, okay? Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So like I said, I doubt that Satan killed God's servant, Becky. There's just no evidence that Satan can go that far. God allows us to be sifted at times by Satan, but I don't see evidence in the Bible that Satan literally killed any of God's servants. So I don't think that's what happened with Becky either. But these aren't all the reasons for sickness and death of our saints. It's not. Some people get sick and die because God simply allows it. Now, he didn't cause it, okay? But he uses it for a special purpose. He allows it. So when these people say, oh, God wanted to teach Becky and the family and the ministry a lesson, so he gave Becky cancer. No, God doesn't work that way. Remember, this is a lost and fallen world, and God is in control. Now, God didn't cause it, but God didn't heal it. God, perhaps he used it for a purpose. Oh, this may be a little tough to grasp, but there are purposes to glorify God in our afflictions. So if it's not Satan or a particular sin that causes sickness and death, maybe it's something that God's going to use, so he allows it. You know, the Bible tells of a lot of God's best saints, okay, that were sick, and even some who died. You know, there's that classic illustration over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, and I am going to read that. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that's three times, folks, that it might depart from me. And he, that's God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. You know, a lot of people believe that thorn in Paul's flesh was some sort of vision problem, because he tells us in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, that there were many who would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to him. But anyways, three times the Apostle Paul petitions the Lord. And these weren't just little simple, Lord, Lord, Lord. These were like these deep prayers, these times of just crying out to the Lord, Lord, heal me. And three times the Lord replies, no, I'm not going to do that. So why wasn't Paul healed? And I'm going to add, why wasn't Becky healed? Was it because they had weak faith? Folks, I doubt that. Was it because there was sin in their lives? Oh, I doubt that too. Was it because both Paul and Becky were out of the will of God? No, not at all. I saw that woman's walk. I saw that woman's life, and she was not out of the will of God. Now, I know for certain that God had a higher plan for Paul, and we're going to get into some of that later. But could it be that God also has a higher plan for our beloved Becky? Could it be, you know? Well, the Bible does say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and this was a verse that Bill and I clung to through this whole process. This is the verse that Terry and I clung to during her whole battle, her victorious battle with cancer. And I'm going to read that. And we know all things, here's that word paz again out of Greek, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So we know Becky was called according to his purpose. We know that Becky loved God. All things in her life should work together for good. But folks, I'm being honest with you now. I'm not sure why. And we're going to talk more on asking why later. Probably won't get to that till next week, but we're also going to talk about why. And listen to this passage out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. Erastus abode in Corinth, but Trophimius have I left at Miletum, sick. So here's Paul talking about another saint whose name was Trophimius, who was very sick. He was a saint, a child of God, apostle's apostle, okay, who did all sorts of healing miracles. Yet Paul simply left this man, Trophimius, there in Miletus, sick. Why? Was it because he didn't want to heal him? Or was Paul just too lazy to heal him? Or was he just indifferent to Trophimius's healing? Well, no, I don't believe any of that. Trophimius was a man who was a saint, a believer, but it was simply not in God's will for him to be healed. So Paul left him there, sick. The same thing for Becky. Not in the Father's will to be healed for some purpose or plan beyond our understanding. Could that be the reason? Then remember there was a time Paul wrote to his young preacher apprentice Timothy and said, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So here we learn that Timothy had these reoccurring digestive problems and was often sick. Yet Timothy was a man of God, a child of God, a preacher of God, you know, greatly used by God. And yet the Apostle Paul didn't have the power to heal Timothy and had to write him a prescription to no longer drink plain water but add some wine to it. So Paul's saying this would help you in your digestion. Just mix a little wine with the water. Talking about Timothy getting drunk here. He's simply telling Timothy to use wine as a prescription of sorts, a stomach aid for healing purposes. And let's not forget about God's super saint, Elisha. Okay? Listen to this passage out of 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Now Elisha had fallen sick of sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So how did Elisha die? Well, remember who Elijah was. He was mentored by Elijah, who was taken to heaven in a whirlwind, okay? A chariot of fire. Remember that story? And Elisha, his protege, the protege of Elijah, and I know these words sound about the same, okay? Elisha, the younger, had a double portion of the Spirit, yet he died of sickness. And Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. So could it be that Becky was taken home in her affliction like Elijah was? Elisha was? Well, perhaps, but I just don't know, folks. And I'm sorry to say that, but I just don't know. So was Elisha, and I'll add Becky, out of communion with God when they got sick and died? Well, of course not. No. Was there something wrong with them? No. That's not why they died. I don't think so, at least, folks. Because the Bible tells us that Elijah was in communion with God while he was sick. As a matter of fact, Elijah on his sickbed made one of the most remarkable prophecies in the entire Bible. So there's no indication here in the Bible that it was because of Elisha's sin that he was sick. And honestly, folks, I can say that same thing about our sister Becky. So, folks, the bottom line here is that God often uses these illnesses and these premature homecomings for loving purposes, allowing the sickness and even the death of a saint for some greater plan. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So what could his purpose be? Well, folks, after going through the Bible here and examining the Word of God, I'm going to list five loving purposes of God. Five purposes that God might have in allowing a child of God to be sick and even die. And number one, his power manifests through our sickness and even our death. Remember, Paul had that thorn in his flesh, and three times he asked God to remove that thorn from his flesh. And what did God say? No, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. From God to Paul. So one reason we could be sick and even at times die is that in that affliction, in that death, God's power and his sovereignty are made manifest through suffering and sickness. You know, Paul made that discovery, that incredible discovery, that through his sickness he could know the power of God. So Paul said to God, heal me, Lord, three times. And God said to Paul, no, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, Paul, when you're weak enough to completely surrender to me, to completely depend upon me, then and only then are you going to find more power than you ever could have imagined or known in your complete health. Now, remember what Paul said after he had this revelation from God. He says, therefore, I will gladly rejoice in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. Now, that phrase, rest upon, it's a very specific and rather unusual phrase, okay? It actually means to spread a tabernacle over. So God was simply putting a Shekinah veil, a tent, a covering of power over the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he was afflicted, because he was sick, because he had this thorn in his flesh. And then Paul said, therefore, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So because of his physical affliction, Paul was able to learn to completely depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice there's no scripture there that says that I hear so often among the body of Christ. I'll hear it at Bible studies all the time, and I just cringe. I don't hear Paul say, as I hear people say all the time, that which cannot be cured must be endured. I don't know how many times I heard that old worn-out cliche at Bible studies. And that's so wrong, folks. What Paul said is that which cannot be cured ought to be enjoyed. Because? Why? Because out of it, I'm made strong. Praise the Lord. Okay? I'm going to continue in my infirmities too, folks, as I grow older. And believe me, I can feel the aches and pains, and I can see the issues with vision as I get older. I used to be able to look up into one of our bushings at the plant, and I could see bent tips. I could see tips that were wet. I look up there now. I can't see that fine detail. I have to take a high-resolution photograph of it and then look at it on a computer and tell the guys, there's a bent tip in row 6. You need to straighten that out. Or there's a deformed tip in row 8, three tips back. And those tips are what the fibers draw out of. So I can see it in my life. And I'm just going to continue glorify God through my infirmities. Have you ever said that to the Lord? Have you ever said glory to God in my sickness? Well, if you do, let me tell you something, folks. You're reaching a new point in your gift of faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. You're getting to the point where you can truly surrender. But not only is God's power manifested in our sicknesses and deaths, but there's also his productivity. And that often comes through our sickness and death. You know, this word productivity has been misunderstood, I think, in the world, because we think about productivity output and all sorts of job efficiencies and things in the plant. Think about it in godly terms. This world has been greatly blessed and influenced by those in his service who were sick. So in that sense, I'm talking about his productivity. God's productivity coming through our sickness and death. For example, did you ever hear of this woman named Fanny Crosby? She was a servant of the Lord, and at about 6 months old, she was blinded as a little girl. Yet she wrote thousands and thousands of Christian poems and gospel songs and hymns that we still sing to this day. And why? All for the glory of God. So what I'm saying is God can use our suffering to bless other people, even though he doesn't cause it. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So this concept of godly productivity through sickness and even death of a saint, it's clearly described right here in the scripture. Paul says, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Isn't that amazing, folks? So, just think about it. Could it be that God used Becky's homecoming for others' consolation and salvation? You know, Bill told me that on Tuesday, January 28th, the day Becky went home to be with the Lord, and Terry and I were there the night before with Bill and his daughter Sarah and her dear friend Megan. We were down there, and Bill and I laid hands on Becky and prayed, and we both left well, I left first with Terry, and then Bill left a little later. We all expected to come have Bill call and report the next day that Becky was going to be up sitting in bed. Yet Becky didn't. In fact, that was her homecoming day. And the social worker came in that day. They're always there on all these cases. I saw that with my mother in the hospital. It's always, there's a social worker. So anyways, the social worker was in, and Bill was sharing Becky's testimony with her. And she said she was a Christian, but Bill thinks that was in name. To remember what Paul said, it is for your consolation and salvation. So there, on Becky's homecoming day, in her deathbed, she, along with Bill, preached the gospel. Why? For the consolation and salvation of that woman. Bill said she cried, and he believes that she was convicted. Now, some sow and some water, but the Lord gathers the increase. Amen? So Paul is saying here that sometimes God afflicts me on your behalf, and sometimes God comforts me on your behalf. Times he had to suffer for the Lord's sake. And so productivity sometimes comes through the sickness and even death of a saint. Remember, Jesus said that every vine in me that bringeth forth fruit, he purges it. Or you get trimmed, you get pruned, you know. Now, do you know how your mind is purged? Well, it's when God prunes it. So look out, because that gardener is going to come with those pruning shears. And when he starts to prune you and tend you on the vine, it hurts. You're going to say, ouch, that hurts. But the gardener says, I know it hurts, but it's going to make you more fruitful. You know, once a gardener had a man visit his apple orchard, and this man saw a tree that was just laden down with apples, so heavy with apples and the harvest that the limbs had to be propped up. So he asked the gardener, okay, about this. And he said, you'd be surprised. At one time, that was my least productive tree. But I had to take drastic measures. I took an axe and I split the trunk of this tree. And after that tree was wounded and it healed, it produced fruit like no other tree in my orchard. And there are parallels in human nature, folks. So when our heavenly caretaker of the orchard or the vineyard says, I'm going to prune you, and it's going to hurt, and you're going to lose some beautiful foliage, and maybe I'm going to throw it on the burn pile and warm the workers with it. So you're going to be hurt, and it's going to be wounded, but I promise you, you're going to bear fruit, and you're going to bear abundant fruit. That's what I mean by productivity. So God can manifest his power and his productivity through our sufferings, illness, and even death. And then thirdly, God's purity can be made manifest through our suffering and sickness. And you see this oftentimes in the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, it reads, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So have you ever thought that perhaps through your suffering, you're being perfected for your establishment, for your strengthening, for your settling? Well, I don't know, but that's what Peter wrote, you know? And then remember good old Job. We just read about him in the book of James, and we read a couple passages out of the book of Job and talked about one. Job said in chapter 23, verse 10, that he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, he's talking about God, okay? I shall come forth as gold. So there's a refining process. Does that make sense? Job saying that this suffering, okay, in him that he was going through was to burn out the dross or the impurities. And Peter referred to that too. And then the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Psalm 119, verse 67. And then a fourth reason I see in the Bible is that godly praise often comes through suffering and sickness. And I saw that at Becky's funeral. There was praise in the Lord. It's sad, but a lot of that sadness is coming from inside of us. Becky's gazing in the eyes of glory now, folks. Apostle Paul, he talked about those who are sickly and called into the service of God. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know, that funeral director, his name was James. He came up to me. The place was packed, both on the visitation day and then on the funeral day, packed. I mean, he said, I've never seen this many people. I've never seen this many people. And that gathering in itself and of itself was praise unto God. Now, I want to notice this word here. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound that which is, this word weak in that passage, okay? That Greek word translated as weak literally means sickly, debilitated, or without any strength. So God's chosen the sickly people here in verse 29. He tells us why. And he says that no flesh should glory in his presence. And then if you continue to read in verse 31, he says that according as it is written that he that glorieth, let it be glory in the Lord. So through this sickness, through this death, praise often comes. And I saw that at Becky's funeral. And then how about at the grave of Lazarus in John chapter 11, verse 4? Remember what Jesus said. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I saw that during Becky's eulogy. We don't know how many lives were touched. We don't know how many did by the Holy Spirit leading unto salvation. So there's a fifth reason now, folks. Even death, our death as saints in the body, can bring glory to God. Yeah, even our deaths. The Bible says in John chapter 21, verse 19, thus spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So yes, death can glorify God as well as our sickness. We can glorify God in sickness and in death. But how does our sickness and how does even the death of our dear beloved Becky glorify God? Well, I'll tell you how. It shuts the devil's mouth. What was the devil's charge against Job? Charge against Job was that Job didn't really love God. The only reason that Job served God is because God bribed him. He bought him off and then he protected him. You see, Satan accused God of building this hedge around Job, like I said before. And Satan was saying, well, God, you're just too good for Job to Job. That's why he loves you. Now, that dirty old devil, he did just the opposite to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Remember what he said to Eve? He said, God's not good enough for you, Eve. Look what God's keeping from you. Folks, it's not God who we can't trust. It's not God who we should be questioning in this sad time. It's the devil. Remember, Satan's a dirty, deceptive, diabolical, evil spirit. He's the devil. And when Satan said, God, you're being too good to Job, you bought him off, you bribed him. When he said that, what did God say? Well, God said, you just don't know my servant Job. He doesn't serve me because of what I give him, because of what I do for him. He loves me, and I'll prove it to you, Satan. You can take anything from him but his life. And I'm telling you, Becky didn't serve God because of what he did for in terms of material things. Becky loved the Lord because he first loved her. Becky served the Lord because of this incredible gift of salvation he gave her. And then praise the Lord, Job continued to serve the Lord through this affliction. And then he made that classic statement in the book of Job. Though he slay me, yet I will serve him. And I know that's what was on Becky's mind and her heart to the very last breath. Yet there's a lot of people out there that have what I'll refer to as an if faith. Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. But what we need to have is a though faith. Though he slay me, yet I will serve him. Job chapter 13, verse 15. And I'm telling you, if you do that, that'll shut the mouth of the devil. Praise the Lord. So God, today I believe that there are some very special people chosen of God to shut the devil's mouth. And I'm believing that that was my sister Becky, who's with you now, gazing into your eyes of glory. You chose her to say, though I don't have physical health, and though I don't have a lot of worldly goods, I love my God. And Jesus Christ is real to me, and Jesus Christ is enough for me. And I know Becky had that all the way to her last breath. So at times in sickness and even in death, folks, we can glorify God and shut the devil's mouth. Andrew Murray, and if you haven't read some of his stuff, just look it up and read some of what he wrote. Dear old saint of God, and here's something he wrote, and I want to read it to you to wrap this up. In times of trouble, the trusting child of God may say, first, he brought me here. It is by his will that I'm in this great place. Next, he'll keep me here in his love and give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. And then he'll make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends for me to learn and working in the grace he means to bestow. And last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when, only he knows. So Murray says these four things here in this quote. Number one, I'm here by God's appointment. Number two, I'm here in God's keeping. Number three, I'm here under his training. And fourthly, I'm here for his time. And I'm telling you, if you can do that, and I believe Becky did, that's a wonderful testimony as a saint to all who see. So first, James speaks about suffering. The suffering of some of his choicest saints. And we all saw that with our sister Becky. And not because of any particular sin, but because God has a higher purpose for them. Amen. And this higher purpose for Becky is something that may be bringing somebody unto salvation. We just don't know. But we don't only just want to study the causes of sickness, okay? Next week, provided the Lord's willing, I'd like to continue this message, folks, and look at what the Bible tells us to do that we might be cured. And then some of the New Age errors that I'm seeing creeping into the church. And if I do have time in that message, or maybe we'll take it up in another one, I want to talk about some of the things that are going astray at Bethel Church and others, where I think they're taking cool healing and the precepts that we believe at Sozo's, and they're adopting New Age practices. And that's really bad. That's New Age air creeping into the church concerning healing. So right now, just know that God was glorified in Becky's homecoming. And we all can just say, all I have is in Christ. Let's lift our hands up now and sing along with Sovereign Grace, all I have is Christ. I love y'all, folks. This was one of Becky's favorite songs.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran, my hell bound me, indifferent to the cost. You looked upon my helplessness and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath. Serve for me.
Hallelujah, all I